This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
This is the first Sunday of Advent, and you might have noticed that the scripture readings deal with what we've all come to know as the second coming. And that's because the early church fathers saw an immediate connection between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. Obviously, we couldn't have a second coming without the first one, but there is a connection between both of those, because in both instances, Jesus came, or will come, to reestablish God's justice on the earth. Man has this unenviable talent for being able to mess up almost everything we touch. Do we understand that? And so that's the reason that the church fathers found this connection between Jesus' first and second coming. Now, according to all of the experts, we are now in the second wave of the coronavirus. The numbers are getting bigger, exceeding the numbers of the 1918 flu epidemic, which killed 50 million people worldwide. The 2009 swine flu epidemic killed 150,000 to as many as 574,400, depending on whose numbers you believe and which way you decide to figure them up. But this situation now has its own distinctive character. States of emergency, I don't know if you've heard, but Los Angeles, the city, is on like a complete three-week complete lockdown. Now, we also have closures of schools. We have distance or remote learning every other week, or half the class one day and half the next half the next day or whatever. And you've even seen closures of government offices and, strangely, even doctor's offices. You have to have a video appointment with your doctor, which is really wild. Now, so in this instance, how do we have a Christian response to this COVID-19 issue? Well, the first thing we have to do is act with sensitivity to those who have been seriously impacted by this epidemic, for there are those who are taking the situation seriously. We know there are some who don't. But as people of faith, we are compelled to respond compassionately to everyone, because there are those who have been impacted by this. There are those who believe it's a serious thing. And it is completely gauche, to put it mildly, for anyone to act lacking sensitivity to those people who truly believe there's a problem and or those who have actually lost loved ones because of it. So we act with compassion. The next thing we can do is we pray for the doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, lab technicians, and even ambulance workers, because they are actually on what we would call the front lines, so we pray for their safety. And one more suggestion is that we do our best not to hoard supplies. Panic buying and doomsday prepping are not necessarily prudent actions of someone who believes the Lord will provide. Now, it's one thing to be prudent and prepared, and it's another thing to hoard the supplies to the point where you can't possibly use all of it before the crisis wears off. So let's be wise in that regard, too. And if we need to, ask the Lord, Lord, how much stuff do I need to buy? How much do I need to actually keep my family prepared and stocked and fed, as opposed to buying up everything and having every closet full of canned goods or whatever you do? So at this point, we are approaching the situation in ways that our ancestors would not recognize. 100 years ago, they had the mindset that death in infancy, disease, and even travel limitations were a part of life. We've been accustomed to living as we want to. So the recent bans, restrictions, and quarantines and other limitations are unthinkable to our contemporary 21st century mindset. 100 years ago, they could deal with that. They were used to it. It was a part of life. But now we're saying, how dare that guy tell us what we can and cannot do? Has anybody heard that? It's even true that previous editions of the Book of Common Prayer, which there are several copies of that around in our sanctuary, had prayers in it for a time of plague. It's not so anymore. Medical advances have made such things seem impossible, so the editors of the Book of Common Prayer decided, well, we don't need those anymore. Now, think about this. Moses and Aaron were the agents of God's deliverance for the Hebrew people from Egypt. And God used the plagues as a means to bring deliverance for the Israelites and to bring himself glory. But we've rendered ourselves unable to reflect theologically on God's methods in a time like this. The church became too westernized and too wedded to prosperity to even consider hardship as a way God might choose to deal with something. As a matter of fact, we spend our time criticizing any Christian leader who may dare to suggest that a famine or something like COVID may actually be a part of God's plan. Have we thought about that? Anybody who would dare suggest something like that might actually be part of God's plan, we just flip our lid. God's too merciful. He would never do anything like that. Well, go back about 3,000 years and ask Pharaoh what Pharaoh might think about how God might deal with something. Okay? Now, Scripture is our compass on this issue. COVID-19 calls us to learn again from our forefathers, who look to Scripture's descriptions of God's agency in times of disaster as a compass for their own times. One obvious place to turn is to the story of those plagues in Egypt, visited upon the Pharaoh. On one side, there was this real clear contrast about how people related to that. On one side, there was Moses, who had a personal encounter with the Lord. He reveres, honors, and worships God. And on the other side, there's Pharaoh, who said to Moses, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go?" He then admitted that he didn't know the Lord. That was his major problem, saying, "And besides, I will not let Israel go." Well, he pronounced a curse on himself and his nation. With that, because the 10 plagues followed, his country was in ruins. But despite that, we see the plagues from the wrong perspective. We see them as judgments. And they kind of were. But at the same time, if we choose to see them from the Lord's lenses, they are an opportunity to see God's sovereignty over his creation. Think about that. The Lord even tells Pharaoh through Moses in Exodus 9, 15 and 16, and that's our featured verse here. "By now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague, and you would have been obliterated from the earth. However, I have let you live for this purpose, to show you my power and to make my name known on the whole earth." But let's be prudent. We need to think about the COVID-19 issue with caution where it concerns any action by the Lord himself. God himself told the purpose of the plagues in Egypt. They were not necessarily punishments. They were an invitation to know God. Exodus 9 again says, "To make my name known on the whole earth." Do we get that? There's a direct invitation to see those plagues as a way to see God working in his creation. And I imagine there may be some listening who this is mind-boggling to think that a disaster would be a way that God would reveal his power over his creation or maybe make it an invitation to know him. So here's the point for the church. It's our time to make the Lord known by not just our words, but by our actions. We don't announce to the world that this disease was sent by God. The average Christian has enough trouble believing that, much less the unsaved person who would choose to think that God must be this horrible ogre who loves inflicting pain on his creation. So we don't go out there and say, "This is God's judgment on the earth." So again, we witness by our actions. These actions have to be a product of us caring for the world in the Lord's name. We become Christ's hands in the middle of this tragedy. It's the same when groups like Samaritan's Purse set up a disaster relief aid and a hospital after a hurricane. because the church as a whole has lapsed into complacency and has allowed the culture to mute our voice, being Christ's loving hands is likely our greatest contribution to the world. So how do we witness to the truth of the gospel if there's another quarantine or a lockdown? Well, it would be helpful if God's people view it as something of a Sabbath. We take the time to get closer to the Lord in the midst of the storm. And that's tough for people like me who are compulsive workaholics and doers. We can pray, sing songs of praise, have family worship together, and just show the Lord's peace and calm to the world. Then we find ways to help those who cannot do anything for themselves in the middle of this. For those, there are those who can't go out, even if they were allowed to. So maybe we can go buy a bag of groceries for our next door neighbor who is completely unable to get out. And we do our shopping at the local mom and pop stores, local restaurants. We buy their products. My guess is that the chain stores will likely survive. But why do we do that? We don't do it just to be nice. We do those things to make the Lord's name known, to give Him glory, and maybe even get some folks saved by seeing a Christian reach out during this time of trouble and show the love of Christ to someone who doesn't know Him. And we also, we don't let fear triumph. We don't become cynical or jaded. We don't contribute to the disaster-laden, fear-mongering rhetoric. We remember what the Scripture promises for those who hold fast to their faith. Thus we speak the Lord's peace and faith into the situation. But most of all, it's time to remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter 3, 14 through 16. But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear them. And in this case, that's the politicians or the virus. Do not fear them or be intimidated. But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time, and here's the key part, to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. Don't you see how profound of a witness that would be at our times? To reach out compassionately to those who can't help themselves, and then show the Lord's peace to the world. I've spent several Sundays talking about peace and how we can have it. But there's a reason for that. Now's the time, if there ever was a time, to show the Lord's peace to the world. And then when they ask, how can you have such calm in the middle of all of this? You say, well, it's because Jesus is in my life. I know the Lord, and I know He'll take care of us. I have that faith. He will not let us down, and He is our provider. And who knows? We might even end up being His instrument to change some people's lives for the better. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.